ready.
Man, this whole society got our women looking at themselves crazy, man. Can you imagine if a dude was walking around talking about he didn't want to wear a pair of khakis because it made his dick look big, man?
For real talk.
You ain't ready for the relationship your grandmother and granddaddy had. You ready to leave your dude if he don't text you back fast enough.
All the time.
And see, that's what's so crazy to me, right? Because you can be against police brutality and not want cops to die. The two ideas ain't mutually exclusive.
Welcome to the Span Report with your host, Mr. Span.
Welcome to the Span Report Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Span. This is episode number 146 of the report. And right now, we're rocking out to some Sid, man. Sid from the internet. Check this out. Rock with your boy. Yes, indeed, man. Yes, indeed. Welcome to episode number 146 of the report. Once again, I am your host, Mr. Span. And we rocking out on a Sunday, man, a Super Bowl Sunday. Hope everybody got their parties scheduled and set and somewhere to go. Something to eat, something to drink, and a team to root for or against tonight, man. Real talk, man. The Super Bowl Sunday here. And yeah, we just chilling out here at the Span Report, man. Like, I got some things to do later on tonight. Everything I just wish for y'all, I already got done. Let me stop that. But yeah, man, that is a thing tonight, man. It's a Super Bowl Sunday, and yeah, this is a national holiday, so to speak, an unofficial national holiday. I tried to get tomorrow off. Shout out to everybody who has foresight to try to request the day after Super Bowl Sunday off, right? Because you know you're going to be fucked up. You know you're going to be up out late all night. You're going to be having a good time with your family and your friends, man. Shout out to everybody who had the wherewithal, who had the means to get the Monday after Super Bowl Sunday off from the gig, man. I couldn't get it. My seniority wouldn't pull it, man. 8 years with the same company, still didn't have enough time to get Super Bowl Monday off from the job, man. But it is what it is, man. I will be there tomorrow to make that money. Real talk. But yeah, man, before we get started, before we get into everything Span Report related, or just news related, period, man. I gotta let you guys know how to get in touch with me here at the Spirit Report Podcast and let your voice be heard, man. Hit me up at the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages for me, and I'll play them on the show and respond in kind. And later on in the show, the phone lines will be open, so you guys can call in while we're doing the show, and you can chop it up with me while we're doing this right here live here on the Spirit Report. Also, hit me up on the emails. My email is feedback@thespirit.com. That's feedback@thespirit.com. Send me those emails. I'll read those on the show and respond here as well. Also, Twitter and Instagram, follow me. My name is Mr_Span on both of those. So go ahead and follow me there, along with the Mr. Span fan page on Facebook, which actually kind of is like my extended Twitter. Right? So if you see anything that I post on Twitter, 9 times out of 10, it'll show up on my Mr. Span fan page there on Facebook. And for YouTube, man, go ahead and subscribe to this show here on YouTube so you can get alerted when I go live. You can participate in the chat room. You can get your calls in when you call in the show live. All of those things happen at YouTube, man. So you need that subscription. Go ahead and subscribe to the show right there on YouTube and follow me there, man, so we can do this thing together. The Spirit Report doesn't have to be just me, right? And also, man, go to www.thespiritreport.com. Everything Spirit Report related is available there, man. The podcast is there. Videos of the podcast are there. The videos that I use while I'm doing the podcast are available there. You can vote in the polls. You can donate to the show as often as you like, as much as you like, right there on the spiritreport.com, man. So go there for all of your Spirit Report needs. And I keep talking about it, and I keep forgetting because there's a lot of shit going on in my life right now. But those t-shirts, man, for those of you who have been asking me about the Spare Report podcast t-shirts, those t-shirts will be available starting Thursday. So Thursday of this week, I will have those links available so that you guys can go ahead and get your Spare Report swag and get yourself an official Spare Report podcast t-shirt. So go ahead and go to the Spare Report for everything else. But Thursday, you'll also be able to go to the Spare Report and get your t-shirts there as well, man. Real talk. But, yeah, man, I hope everybody's feeling good. I hope everybody's, like, well-rested, you know, for this weekend, man. I got a lot of rest. Let me stop lying. I didn't get a lot of rest, man. My dog, man, Tyrone, has been, like, acting up, man. I wouldn't say acting up, but Tyrone has been dealing with, I don't know if he has a cold or what, or, you know, he's an older Chihuahua, and I hear that, you know, older Chihuahuas deal with something called tracheal collapse. And he coughs a lot. And he coughs a lot at night. And God damn. God damn. Like, it is fucked up because I understand that my dog isn't trying to be up all night coughing. But he does not have a job to go to in the morning. Right? So when your dog is up all night cough, my wife has gotten up and left the room and gone to the other bedroom to go to sleep. I have sometimes just said fuck it and fell asleep on my couch. Like, it has become a thing with Tyrone where, you know, he's not in the best of health. And I understand he's a senior dog and stuff like that, but God damn that cough, man. So I'm still reaching out to every last one of you guys, man. If you got like a Chihuahua or a small breed dog and you're familiar with this particular malady, please hit me up and let me know how we can treat my dog, man. We take him to the vet, but the vet is like, yo, they want $400 to do an x-ray on him and to find out what it could be exactly. And like, I love Tyrone, but $400 for an x-ray is a bit much when he has insurance. My dog has insurance. Right? So yeah, man, I think that that insurance game is a bit of a game when it comes to your pets, man, because you're still going to come out of a lot of money out of pocket for your co-pays when it comes to them. But yeah, man, I have not been getting a lot of rest as much as I would like to be, right? But that's going on, man. I got a random thought. It's a random thought. It's something that I've been thinking about over the course of the last couple weeks, man. I know that Facebook and Instagram are kind of a thing together. Like, Facebook bought Instagram and whatnot, and they've incorporated like live videos on Instagram now, so you can go live on not only Facebook, but you can do that on Instagram as well. But one of the things, man, like, I'm getting a little bit annoyed with the fact that when people don't post pictures for a while, Facebook feels the need to send me a notification that, yo, such and such just made a post and they haven't posted in a while. I don't give a fuck. Excuse me. I don't care. Like, I don't think most people care that such and such hasn't posted a picture in a while. I think what happens is, like, yo, if I follow this person and I care about this person, then I would have already noticed it. Like, yo, such and such ain't posting nothing on Instagram in a minute. I wonder if everything's okay. I kind of feel like that. I may not be the only person who feels like that, but I kind of feel like, yo, I don't need the notification that, yo, such and such hasn't posted in a while, and here's a notification letting you know that they posted one more new picture. Congratulations, man. Congratulations. It's annoying. I get enough notifications on my phone for a lot of stuff. I think that's why my, like, every time I get a new phone, like, my phones never really can keep up with me because of all of the stuff that comes through, whether it be, like, for bill payment, like, yo, this bill is due, or whether it's Facebook, or whether it's Twitter, or whether it's Instagram, let me know that somebody ain't posted a picture in a minute. It's like, it's notifications for a little bit of everything, and it's killing my battery, man. Like, no, Instagram, help a nigga. Help a nigga. I mean, real talk, man. You ain't gotta be like that, man. With these pointless ass notifications, man. It's annoying. It's annoying. And I know those are first world problems for your ass, right? Yeah, man. So that's going on. But another thing that's going on, man, is we still have our Hood Movie Playoffs, man. The Hood Movie Playoffs are in the great eight stage, right? So we got eight movies here at the Sparing Report, where we're trying to determine what was the greatest hood movie of all time. And this is being determined by the listeners here at the Sparing Report. So there's a poll right now on this episode. You can go there to sparingreport.com right now. You can go vote in the poll. And the poll is about the Hood Movie Playoff. It's got the eight movies that have made it to the round of eight. And right now we've got Boys in the Hood at number one, Menace to Society at number two, Juice at number three, Poetic Justice at number four, Paid in Full at number five, Set It Off at number six, Belly at number seven, and eighth is South Central. So for those of you who would like to see your movie go on to the round of four, go ahead to thesparingreport.com, vote in the poll. Let us know what you think is the greatest hood movie of all time, man. Real talk. So go ahead and go vote in the polls over there for that, man. Now, let's get into some of this news. Let's get into some of this news, man. I came across this story on Facebook, and this kind of had me chuckling to no end, man. There was a story about a mother who was breastfeeding her child, and another woman came over to her and demanded that she go somewhere else, more private, to breastfeed her child, right? So we're going to get this story out of the Daily Mail. So the Daily Mail, they have this story. And let's just read from the article. It says a mother breastfeeding in public allegedly squirted her boob at a woman who told her to move somewhere private. The incident is said to have happened in the park in Dartford, Kent this week and was later reported to a local Facebook forum. The post states that to the lady in Dartford Park who thought it was appropriate to breastfeed her baby with my child and very easily distracted husband sat nearby. Okay, this is where, like, the American English and the real English, like, kind of gets me fucked up, because I'm trying to figure out what is whist. Somebody please, what is whist? Like, while I was with my child and my very easily distracted husband, right? I don't think it was necessary for you to react the way that you did just because I asked you to go somewhere private, telling me to fuck off and squirting me with your boobs was incredibly uncalled for. I hope you're ashamed of yourself. Okay. So here's the thing. People, understand this, man. I get that for a lot of folks, it's hard for you not to sexualize boobs, right? So many of us have grown up with the idea of breast only to be seen sexually. We see them, you know, they're accentuated in pornos. You know, breast implants are sometimes made for, or sometimes gotten, you know, to make a woman look more voluptuous or more attractive to, you know, the opposite or sometimes the same sex, or, you know, folks who are attracted to, you know, to the titties, man. Like, let's just be honest. And I get that. But their natural function is for the sustenance of a child, right? When a woman has a child, she lactates, she produces milk. Her milk is actually is scientifically better for the baby, for her to actually feed her child her breast milk than to feed her some, like, some sort of formula or Similac or whatever, right? And it's becoming more and more of a thing, more of a commonplace thing to see mothers asserting their motherhood and feeding their babies in public, man. And so many folks are, like, getting up in arms, man, telling this lady to go somewhere more private. We've seen numerous incidents where people are telling women that they need to take their child to the bathroom so they can go, you know, feed their child, that they should cover up when they should feed their child. And a lot of women are pushing back on it. There's a subculture on YouTube, man. And I kind of, like, stumbled upon this. Don't ask me how and shit. But like, there was a subculture, like, on YouTube where women are breastfeeding their children and they're talking about how to breastfeed, some of the issues that they've dealt with in public while breastfeeding their children, some of the stigma that comes with breastfeeding their children. And it's odd because that's what the breasts are for. Right? That's what they are for. As much as some of us who would, you know, who enjoy breast, look at them in different ways, their primary function is for the sustenance of a baby. Right? So it takes a lot of gumption to come at somebody to say, you should get your ass up and go somewhere more private. Right? I don't want to see that. And the fucked up part about this particular story is that this woman more than likely was upset that her husband was paying way too much motherfucking attention to that woman and her boobs, right? My easily distracted husband sat nearby, way too motherfucking distracted, right? And she felt a little way about that. Now, instead of confronting her husband about, like, yo, man, what the fuck you doing? Like, she's over there feeding her kid, like, mind your business. Instead of doing that, you felt like you had to go talk to this strange woman, or not strange woman, but this stranger, this woman that you do not know, to tell her that she needs to go somewhere more private because your husband can't stop looking at her, right? Kind of fucked up, kind of self-important, kind of self-indulgent, kind of inconsiderate in a way, especially if the baby's hungry, right? Baby's probably crying and whatnot. Mom is minding her business, like, okay, my baby's hungry, let me feed my baby, right? So I get it's like one of those things. So now she's like, yo, you know, I felt it was very inappropriate and uncalled for you to tell me to fuck off and started squirting me with your boobs. And it and it kind of made me think, man, I don't know why, but I kind of imagine it's like, yo, you know what? You should go somewhere more private. Calm your tits and take your baby somewhere else. And she's like, calm your tits. No! 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 Okay, and it's no longer working. My shit is no longer working. But she squirted her boobs at it. She squirted her boobs at this lady, man. Kudos to this lady. Kudos to the lady. Man, get the fuck out of my face, man. Like, this is pretty much what she said. Fuck off. Get out of my face. And shot her with the titty, man. Like, I am Mrs. Span, and I approve this message, man. Get the fuck out of folks' face, man. Like, again, folks are way too self-important, so way too self-indulgent. And, like, trying to police this lady for feeding her child, man. For feeding her child. It takes a lot of gumption, man. It takes a lot of balls to do some stupid shit like that. So, yeah. Mind your business. Check your husband. And stop always sexualizing the boobs. I know it's hard. I really do. I know it's hard. I enjoy boobs too. But stop sexualizing the boobs when they got their babies involved, man. Real talk. So that's what's going on in the world, man. Another thing is going on in the world, man, and it's not so funny, is the fact that there is a there has been, of course, you guys have seen a lot of the protests across the United States where there's a fight for the raising of the minimum wage, right? We've seen fast food workers ask for a $15 an hour wage for their jobs, right? And, you know, we've seen people push back on it, you know, talk about the cost of the food going up, or some folks talk about whether or not that job is just like a stepping stone job. It's a beginner job and you shouldn't be, you know, looking for that job to take care of your family or whatnot. And there was a time where I was kind of, you know, I was kind of a proponent of that same kind of attitude, man. And then I thought about it when I saw the numbers. It's like one thing when you don't know, and then when you do know better, you start speaking. You know, when you know better, you do better. And I kind of know better about the situation than I did prior to, you know, actually reading up on the issue, right? And so one of the things that's kind of happening right now here in Michigan, there is a contingent of fast food workers who is suing the franchisee of Taco Bell for stealing their wages, right? Now, some of you may ask, how does one steal the wages of their workers, right? Well, in this particular story, they talk of workers not being paid overtime, sometimes crew members being promoted to the role of manager while not getting those manager-like, well, as a matter of fact, not even so much being being promoted to manager to avoid paying overtime. So they worked a lot of hours. They didn't get the overtime because they're the franchisee decided, like, yo, we're going to pay you like we would a manager. And the manager is paid on a salary-like basis or whatever. So we don't have to pay the overtime. Or if they did work over 40 hours a week, then taking some of those hours and pushing them into another week so that they wouldn't get their full, so that they wouldn't get their overtime payments as well. As a matter of fact, let me just go ahead. And I'm going to play this this story here for you guys. Let me pull this up so you guys can check this out and see for yourselves. Here we go. Check this out. As we wait for this
Some current and former employees sue a Taco Bell franchise owner. They say they didn't get paid for the hours they worked, and it wasn't a mistake. Fox 2's Camille Amiri with that story.
Our clients, in this case and in many others, are living paycheck to paycheck. They are terrified of losing their jobs. Even though they're being cheated out of fair wages, they still depend heavily on their jobs.
Employees and former employees of Taco Bell restaurants in Michigan, some of them right here in Metro Detroit, suing Sundance Inc., the Brighton-based franchise owner.
They were not paid overtime for time worked over 40 hours in a week. Some of them experienced what we call wage theft. And what that means is, although they worked certain hours, they weren't paid at all for those hours. And those hours were just eliminated from their timesheets.
Attorney Jennifer McManus says these practices date back to 2013. And she says some employees were given manager and assistant manager titles, making them ineligible for overtime, even though they had no managerial duties. McManus says other employees experienced this.
Many of them had their hours shifted, which means if they worked 45 hours one week, the extra 5 hours were actually shifted into their following week's timesheet in order to avoid even the appearance of overtime.
Sundance Inc. owns 150 Taco Bells in Michigan and throughout the Midwest. Neither the company nor its attorneys returned our phone calls. The plaintiffs are seeking damages, back pay, restitution, and attorney's fees.
A lot of people are aware of minimum wage battles and things like that, but what they're not aware of is the fact that many people who are getting paid minimum wage, even then, still aren't being paid properly.
Camille Amiri, Fox 2 News.
All right. So, you know, we talk a lot about whether or not people deserve, you know, or what people deserve when it comes to what kind, you know, the types of jobs that they have and everything else. It's another thing entirely to not pay people what they're supposed to have. To shift their overtime so that you don't have to pay them the overtime wage, to give them managerial positions without giving them managerial duties because you don't want to pay them the overtime. And that's exploitation in its purest form, man. Like, we always hear folks talk about whether, you know, what folks deserve, and, you know, you shouldn't depend on this certain type of job and everything else. Like, look, man, what I worked and the hours that I worked, pay me for that. Pay me for that. I'll never forget, man. And this kind of happened to me, I want to say maybe 3 years ago. 3 years ago, man, in my current position, where I had a supervisor who routinely did not pay me for the overtime that I worked, and had the audacity to tell me that, yo, Span, you shouldn't depend on overtime to pay your bills, right? Told me this to my face, told me this. You shouldn't depend on the overtime to pay my bills. What I should expect is for when I work these fucking hours that I get paid what I'm supposed to, as anybody else should. If they work the hours, pay them what they're supposed to get, period. But it's so easy for folks to kind of shit on minimum wage workers, because so many of us kind of feel like we're a little bit better than minimum wage, right? We got jobs that pay us better than minimum wage. We're not dependent on minimum wage. You know, you're not supposed to be in that job at 30 years old. Says who? Says who? A lot of the folks who work those jobs, especially, like, take for instance this, man. Like, McDonald's, Taco Bell, not Popeyes, but like Burger King, a lot of these restaurants now have extended hours. You look up and you can go to a Checkers or Rally's or McDonald's, Burger King. You can go to these restaurants at 2-3 o'clock in the fucking morning. What 16, 17, 18 year old person do you know is working at those hours when they got school to go to? So who do you think is manning those stores during those times when you get your urge to go to the store or go to get you some Burger King or go get you some McDonald's or go get you some Taco Bell or go get you some Rally's and Checkers or whatever the fuck else you go to? Who do you think is working those stores at those hours to fulfill your, you know, to kind of satiate your hunger? Those are adults, man. People who got responsibilities. People who have needs. People who are working and deserve to be paid for the hours that they work. They deserve to get paid for the hours that they work. So, you know, again, man, like I said, I remember I used to talk about this issue. I give it maybe, what, 3 or 4 years ago. I used to talk about this issue, man, and I was kind of like, yo, man, like, you know, yeah, McDonald's make millions and billions of dollars, man. But, you know, sometimes these stores are owned by franchisees. Yo, this franchisee owns over 150 fucking stores. He ain't broke. He ain't hurting. And he's paying his employees minimum wage and not even paying the overtime on minimum wage. He getting over, dude. So, yeah, man, like, that's fucked up. That's fucked up. And I think it's high time for folks to kind of get off of this idea that because someone works minimum wage that they deserve what they get, or that they don't deserve to be treated better or to be paid better for the bullshit that they deal with. Not only dealing with the company, but sometimes dealing with y'all. Sometimes even dealing with y'all, man. Real talk, man. Another thing, man, that's kind of going on in the news, man. Some bullshit that's kind of mucking up the game. Is Officer William Melendez. Now, some of you may not necessarily be familiar with Officer William Melendez. This is another story that's kind of specific to Michigan. Officer William Melendez was caught on video beating the hell out of Floyd Dent in Inkster, Michigan on a dash cam, right? Excuse me. And Officer Melendez has actually been released from jail already. He spent 14 months in Ionia State Prison here in Michigan, and it was for the beating of Floyd Dent. Now, I'm going to jog you guys' memory on what exactly happened to Floyd Dent. As a matter of fact, where is that? Where is that? Because I had this story pulled up, and there it is. Okay, so we're going to kind of revisit what Floyd Dent went through and what Officer William Melendez did to him while he was that caused him to be arrested and put in jail. Check this out, y'all.
You're looking at police dash cam video, a traffic stop of 57-year-old Floyd Dent, who is driving his Cadillac in the city of Inkster. When he's pulled over by police, he opens his car door. The situation immediately escalates and then turns violent. According to police reports and court testimony, Inkster police officer Melendez puts Dent in a chokehold and then delivers 16 blows to his head. A second officer, Zielinski, struggles to handcuff Dent. A third officer, Kritzers, runs up and tasers Dent three times, twice in the stomach, once in the leg. Several Michigan State police officers respond as backup and are also on scene.
Okay, now right now there are five officers on this dude. Right now, five guys on this one guy, on Floyd Dent, as he's on the ground and getting beat on the head by Officer William Melendez. Five of them.
Police say they were protecting themselves. Dent says he doesn't know why he was pulled over or why he was viciously beaten.
Next thing I know, Officer Brunt up to me with his gun, you know, talking about blowing my head off. Then he grabbed me out the car, you know, and started beating on me. You know, I just couldn't believe it.
Police say they first saw Dent's car through binoculars. They were watching an area known for drug dealing. They followed Dent's car and say he did not properly stop at a stop sign. They say when they turned on their overhead lights, Dent did not pull over immediately, and they believed he was fleeing the officers.
When overhead lights came on, and looked. I said, wow, are they stopping me?
Dent says he did not try and flee, and the video shows he drove at a consistent speed until pulling over across the street from the old police station.
I had pulled over and opened my car door, had my hands out.
When the car door opened,
Okay, make note that Officer Melendez was already, he already has his gun out. The gun is already out. It's not holstered or anything. He's got his gun out in his on his side before before Floyd Dent gets out of the car.
Police say they ordered Dent to put his hands up, but they could only see one of his hands. They say Dent yelled at the officers, "I'll kill you." The officers' microphones were either turned off or not working.
How can fucking convenient? How convenient? They never on when they getting caught on some bullshit. They're never on.
There's no audio of the alleged threat. Greg Roll is Dent's attorney.
You have six responding vehicles, and not one officer is equipped with a microphone to take down this alleged threat.
On the ground, police say Dent refused to put his hands behind his back. Dent said he thought he was being choked to death and tried to pull the officer's arm from his throat. The officer says Dent bit him on the arm, and that's why he started punching. They say the 16 blows to the head, a kick to the arm, and three taser blasts were necessary to protect themselves while restraining Dent.
It's like seven or eight of these motherfuckers, man. We got to protect ourselves from this one dude. This one dude. It's seven or eight of them motherfuckers, man. Right? So, yeah, man. Like, just watching that again. This kind of pissed me off because this is something that that happened, I believe, in 2015. And this is something that we covered here on the Spin Report during that time. And over the course of this case, we kind of covered the fact that Officer Melendez did go to jail for what happened to Mr. Floyd Dent in that particular situation, right? But Floyd Dent has kind of forgiven Officer Melendez for what happened to him, you know. He said that, you know, the man has served his time, that he's kind of passed the entire situation. Mr. Dent was compensated by the city of Inkster. There was a settlement made by the city of Inkster. I don't know exactly how much that settlement was, but he was compensated by them for what happened to him. And Officer William Melendez, after striking him in the head 14 times, I think 14 or 16 times, served 14 months in prison. Right, his sentence was, let's see. Okay, as a matter of fact, I got the story right in front of me. What the fucks, man? The city of Inkster paid Dent just less than $1.4 million to settle a civil lawsuit. So that's how much Floyd Dent was paid, you know, to rectify what happened to him. But he got 14 months to 10 years. William Melendez, 14 months to 10 years. He had 13 months to 10 years, and he served 14 months. So one of the questions that I got for you guys, man, is whether or not you believe, after seeing that video and after and knowing what happened to Mr. Dent, knowing the actions that Officer Melendez took, do you think that 14 months in jail was enough? And that poll is available at thespanreport.com. You can go to this particular episode on thespanreport.com, political football, and vote on that poll, man. Let me know whether or not you guys think that whether or not Officer Melendez got off too light, or whether or not Officer Melendez kind of got what he deserved and justice was served in this particular instance. Me personally, nah, fuck that. Fuck that. He should have been doing a hell of a lot more time than 14 months for what happened to him, specifically because of his position. Specifically because of his position. He is supposed to uphold the law, not break it. He is supposed to protect and serve, not beat the hell out of somebody who he thought bought drugs in Inkster. So yeah, man, that's kind of what it is with Officer Melendez. Just let out of prison after a 14-month stint in jail here in Michigan, man. Now, another thing kind of going on in the world. some more stuff going on, man. Howard University is kind of in the news again, man. We've got news that Howard University is reinstituting their College Republicans chapter, right? Now, okay. I want to say this, man. Like, I've talked a lot about over the years, man. I talked about my confusion when it comes to Black Republicans, right? Like, I don't understand. I don't necessarily understand them. I don't understand their line of thinking. You know what I mean? And I know we talk all the time about Black people not being a monolith, and that, you know, Black people having, you know, there's a lot of diversity within the Black community, and there's no one signature Black experience, right? Everybody has their own experience as a Black person, and you don't want to denigrate that. You don't want to belittle that. You don't want to try to discount that, right? We talk about that a lot. And so I came across the news of the Black Republicans at Howard University, and they were reinstituting the College Republicans at Howard after a 10-year kind of hiatus where there weren't really any Black Republicans or a College Republicans chapter at Howard University. And it comes really at a time where we are more polarized than ever when it comes to our political discourse, when it comes to, our views on how the world should work, how the government should function. It comes at a time where, like, a lot of folks are scared. A lot of folks are, and I will say rightfully so. It comes at a time where folks have very deep misgivings on the current president of the United States, right? And so it was interesting to note that there were some Black College Republicans at Howard University, and they were supporters of Donald Trump. Because one of the things, here's another thing too, there's a lot of Republicans that don't fuck with Trump either, right? There's a lot of people on the right. There's a lot of people who, like, yo, we don't fuck with this dude either, right? So it's kind of interesting to see how this kind of plays out. So I came across this video, and it's about basically not only the College Republicans at Howard University, but also some of the stigma, supposedly, that some Republicans, Black Republicans, feel when they talk about their political views amongst other Black folks. So let me play this video for you guys. Let me pull this up for you, and we're going to kind of break down some of the attitudes, some of the perspectives that they display here. So let me go ahead and pull this up for you.
Black Americans oftentimes do align themselves as Republicans, but they just don't publicly say so. My name is Leah Lavelle, and my title is African American and Millennial Initiatives in Urban Media. Here at the RNC, during the election cycle, we did a campaign with videos where called the Midweek Messages, and they were geared toward millennials, especially African American millennials.
In cities like Chicago, crime has only gotten worse in the past 8 years. We need a candidate that will make our neighborhoods, our cities, and our country safe again. Hillary Clinton has been flip-flopping on the issue of criminal justice and law enforcement for many years. Donald Trump is going to be the type of president we need to help keep us safe. He supports community policing and will make the safety of all communities, especially inner cities, a top priority. I am Alexis Hasty, and yes, I'm with Trump.
Okay, now. Uh-oh. I don't know who that is, but they need to stop. Okay, so here's the thing. One, I'm tired of Chicago being used as a political football. Right? I'm tired of the narrative of Chicago being this dystopian type of place where there's nothing but crime, there's nothing but death, there's nothing but killing, there's nothing but gun violence going on in the city of Chicago. I'm sick and tired of hearing that. I am a native of Chicago. I am from Chicago. I am a son of Chicago. I'm tired of hearing that shit. I am. Not only that, Donald Trump, not even just Donald Trump, but Barack Obama. Excuse me. Because I've spoken about this on numerous occasions where when it comes to what happens locally, whether that be, you know, your school board, your student council, I mean, not your student council, but your city council, but your county executives, your county policing, your local judges, your block club have so much more to do with the conditions that are going on in your city than anything that the fucking president can do. This is why you hire, this is why you vote for your mayor and your city council and your state legislature. This is why you hire and vote for these people to address the things that are specific to your community. So this young lady, she talks about Donald Trump being, you know, for community policing. Yo, in Chicago, they had a community policing initiative called CAPS in Chicago. In Chicago, they also had a program called the Interrupters. We spoke about the Interrupters here on the Span Report that actually went out and talked to gang members and tried to interrupt shit before it happened. That was a state-run or state-funded program. Guess what happened? They gutted the funding for that program. Guess what happened? Gang violence in Chicago went up. So if you think that you're going to police these areas, if you think you're going to address the concerns of the needs of these people and you don't spend any money, if you don't actually listen to the people from that community, you're not going to get the results that you want. Bottom line, some dude at the White House, whether that be Barack Obama, whether that be Donald Trump, whether that be George W. Bush or whomever, nobody is going to directly affect what happens in your community more directly than the folks that you elect locally. Make no mistake about it. And it's kind of why I get irritated when I hear folks talking about whether or not their votes count and don't count and all these other things, and they kind of like push away from the political process. It's like, yo, if you do nothing, if you don't engage in this process, you are aiding and abetting in the gutting of your own fucking community. I don't give a fuck what you say otherwise. You are aiding and abetting in the gutting of your own community. No other community. Like, you don't talk about white folks not being engaged in the political process, right? It's like white folks, like, and I don't want to generalize, man. I don't. But there's a, like, people understand. There's a contingent of folks who just simply understand that you have to be politically engaged, that you have to be aware of what's coming down the pike legislatively if you're going to effectively combat the things that you don't like in your community, and if you're going to advocate for the things you want in your community. So right off the bat, listening to this young lady talking about Donald Trump being what we need in the inner cities, unfortunately, she's a little bit misinformed, and she's, I don't want to be disrespectful, but she sounds a little foolish. Sounds a little foolish there, but there's more.
We had Alexis Hasty, who is the college Republican president at Howard University, do one of the videos. And as we were walking upstairs, Chairman Priebus actually walked by, and we were like, oh my goodness, this is awesome. We have to stop him and have him meet Alexis.
I was with another RNC staff member, and he's like, oh, Mr. Chairman. He's like, oh, I want you to meet Alexis. And he told him about the reestablishment of the club.
We talked to him for a second, told him what we were doing, told him about how Alexis was starting the chapter at Howard University, and he was just absolutely excited. Ended up writing them a check, and then we helped host their launch parties.
We got so much love and support from the RNC, which is really great.
I think that bringing back the chapter was more so about bringing it back rather than bringing it back for the sake of the election. So in a sense, like, the election was just, I guess, good timing.
The millennial vote was a significant portion to both presidential candidates in this election. So we wanted to bring more awareness to the campus. So I really do think this is a great time to get people into that political conversation.
I think that you see with the election of Donald Trump, we saw more African Americans vote for Republican for president than in the last decade.
You saw more black men. You saw more black men vote for Donald Trump than in the last decade, unfortunately. And let's not even be fucking, let's not be stupid about it. There's a contingent of brothers who would have never voted for a woman to begin with. Let's not make no mistake about it. I mean, even when you think about some of the things that they said that they hated Hillary for, they did not hold Donald Trump to that same standard. So if you're mad about Hillary Clinton, same super predator. At a time where not only Republicans, but Democrats as well, some of them in your church telling you, we need to do something about the crime going on because of all these drugs. Like, the drug epidemic, the crack epidemic is decimating our communities. We need to do something. And during that time, Hillary Clinton spoke about super predators. And a lot of you, it's a lot of niggas who never gave Hillary Clinton the benefit of the doubt, so to speak, when it came to her statement about super predators, right? They held that over her head, and they were Bernie, like, they not only that, they held that over her head, and then they talked about Bernie Sanders as being the one who's going to make things right. Never mind the fact that Bernie Sanders voted for the bill that locked up a lot of black men. Right? Hillary Clinton gets held accountable for being married to Bill Clinton, who signed the bill. Bernie Sanders actually voted for the bill. Yeah, there was a whole lot of brothers who was like, yo, nah, I'm going to vote for Bernie Sanders because he's for the people. He for us. And when Hillary became the candidate for the Democratic National Committee, as opposed to voting for Hillary, they voted for Donald Trump. Right? And there's not only the contingent of brothers who would not have voted for a woman, but there's also a contingent of brothers who admire wealth, who admire people who look like ballers. There is a contingent of that, right? So the fact that, you know, like Donald Trump got 13% of black men voted for this clown says a lot about some of the politics of some of our brothers, but also it's a disheartening look at our are want to be close to, or want to be seen on, in alignment with someone who's in power, despite what they may think of us as a people. Because also, these same 13% of black men who voted for Donald Trump probably just kind of washed aside the fact that Donald Trump wanted that Central Park 5 executed, despite being deemed innocent by DNA. So, yeah, it's a lot, man. It is a lot.
And I think that that shows that there is a increased curiosity with the Republican Party.
Both of my parents, or neither of my parents, I should say, identify as Republican. My influences came strictly from learning. So after, like, late in my high school career, I was learning more and more, especially, you know, once you turn 18 and things, like, things kind of come into perspective. And so I was really just doing my own research and figuring things out for myself. And one day I just came to the conclusion that despite my political socialization, I'm going to actually just go against that because that's not what I believe. And I think that we all should go with how we actually feel.
Okay. Another thing that's interesting here, man. I understand, like, some of the things that you may hear. Like, I get it. Like, there's a lot of black folks who don't believe in transsexual rights or homosexual rights. Excuse me. And we can, a lot of that is rooted in the church. Real talk. A lot of that is rooted in the church. There's a lot of folks who like, say, for instance, gun rights, right? Now, you listen to me. I am a person who believes in the Second Amendment. I am a person who, as a black man, carries a gun every day, who keeps guns in my home, who thoroughly believes in my right to bear arms. And sometimes the Democratic Party doesn't necessarily, they come across a little bit antagonistic when it comes to that, right? But at the same time, I also understand that there are needs for regulations when it comes to gun ownership. There's a need for background checks when it comes to gun ownership. There's a need for safety when it comes to gun ownership. And sometimes the Republican Party isn't about that either, right? But in order for me to kind of practice my ability to, you know, my Second Amendment, right? Sometimes I gotta, like, you look up and some of the only people who are talking about, you know, preserving that are Republicans, unfortunately, right? So it's like one of those things where, like, yo, I agree with them on that. When I look at my pay stub, when I get paid, man, when I look at my check, I want to cry sometimes, man. I get, like, once I get, when I get paid, I look at my check stub and I walk away with about 60% of what I actually earned. 40% of my income goes towards income taxes from not only the state of Michigan, but the city of Detroit and to the Fed. That's not even including what I pay for my benefits, my health insurance, and, you know, stuff like that, right? So when I get my check, I want to cry. Because I'm like, yo, I earn way more than that. I should be bringing home a hell of a lot more, right? On taxes, sometimes I agree with the Republican Party. Two things I agree with the Republican Party about. Now, the nuance of that is like, yo, some of these programs that I advocate for when it comes to public assistance, when it comes to you know, our roads and things like that, when it comes to making sure society is acting not only decently but not being just a basic fucking humanitarian, that as much as I kind of bitch about how much they're taking out of my check, I understand that it's needed for these things to kind of take place, right? There's that balance between the two. But at the end of the day, yo, your man Span is kind of like, yo, I lean left more so than I lean right. There's only two things that I agree with the Republicans on. But to the overall platform of the current Republican Party is repugnant, and it's kind of hard for me to listen to anybody align themselves with them, considering everything we know about how the Republican Party currently operates. And that's why it's so disheartening to listen to this young lady, you know, kind of talk about, I did all this research and I came to this conclusion that I'm a Republican and they align with my beliefs. When a lot of the beliefs of the Republican Party are actually counter to your very fucking existence. To your very existence. But there's more, man.
Regardless of surrounding factors.
Social media is super popular nowadays, and there's so much persecution from people who oftentimes will stand out on their ideas. It's just so much persecution. So people oftentimes don't publicly say who they really align with.
Okay. Very interesting thing here. They feel persecuted because of, you know, some of their beliefs, and because of a lot of folks in the black community just simply do not fuck with that Republican Party. And it's a thing because, like, yeah, the Republican Party would like to remind you all the time, man, like, yo, you know, we're the party of Lincoln, you know, Lincoln freed the slaves, and, you know, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. used to be a Republican and all of these other things. But it's one of those things where when you're kind of like that oddball, right? That you're a bit of the oddball where, yeah, I understand that, like, okay. The oddball is this. The oddball is this. So you're going to join a party who does not believe that a lot of times your people shouldn't have the right to bear arms. You're going to join a party who does not believe that, some of your people should be taken care of, whether that be, you know, through welfare programs, whether that be through unemployment, whether that be through decent wages, whether that be through actually being able to vote. You don't believe that a party who has kind of courted the endorsement of the KKK with their presidential candidate has your best, you know, your best interest at heart. You believe that they have your best interest at heart, and also the members of that KKK as well, who would like to see your ass eradicated. You would also be okay with stop and frisk, which was deemed unconstitutional by the United States Supreme Court, and your presidential candidate, your current president of the United States, is advocating to make that nationwide to fuck with people who look just like you. Right? You would fuck with a party who has attacked your ability to vote ever since the Voting Rights Act. That Voting Rights Act has been gutted. So what does the Republican Party do? They close down early voting polling stations. They make it harder for people of color in certain neighborhoods to vote. And I believe in Cleveland, I believe that's Cuyahoga County in Ohio, there is one voting poll, one polling place for Cuyahoga County, which has Cleveland in it, a major American city, one place where early voting is allowed. One. So now folks are standing in line for hours to get their votes in. And folks can't stand in line for hours to get their votes in. Why? Because they got shit to do. They got kids to take care of. They got kids to get to school. They got work to do. They got to get to work. So this Republican Party that you align yourself with, you aligned yourself with these folks. They have made it their business to disenfranchise folks who look just like you. So you're talking about feeling persecuted for being a black Republican. Part of the reason why you're feeling persecuted is because black people are probably hitting you over the head with the same shit that I'm saying right now. hitting you over the head with the facts of what the Republican Party represents today. Not what the Republican Party represented in the time of Lincoln and Frederick Douglass. When Frederick Douglass probably was a Republican. We are not dealing with the same Republican Party of then. We're dealing with a Republican Party who decided that black folks shouldn't bear arms. Right? I'm a proponent of the Second Amendment. It was a Republican governor, Ronald Reagan, who signed the Mulford Act in California because of the Black Panthers who were patrolling the neighborhoods of Oakland, who were patrolling the neighborhoods of Oakland with guns loaded and observing the police officers acting upon the or doing their duties. But it was Ronald Reagan who signed the Mulford Act to disarm the Black Panthers and by proxy disarm you. Have you ever noticed how many inner cities places where, like, yo, like, they try to, like, disarm a lot of black folks? Have you ever noticed, or better yet, take this for instance. Very recent. Philando Castile was gunned down in Minnesota. Had a license to carry a concealed firearm. Was actually trying to inform the police officer who shot him that he had a license to carry a concealed firearm and the weapon was in a car with him. Philando Castile is not with us today. The NRA, who is really in the tank for the GOP, the NRA did not release a statement on Philando Castile's rights to own a gun and to carry a gun for his own protection. But what did they do? They put out Corleone Noir. They put out a video of Corleone Noir. I actually talked about this on the show last year. Put out a video, Corleone Noir. Corleone Noir is like, yo, the NRA doesn't have to release a statement. They gave him his own show because I'm 35. I'm 30 years old. I got a concealed carry license and I talk for the NRA. As if Corleone Noir having a show on the NRA's YouTube channel, having a show on a YouTube channel dismisses the fact that they said nothing on Philando Castile's rights to carry a firearm. And he was gunned down. Lawfully doing what his rights demanded he be able to do. Right? But Corleone Noir got a YouTube channel, right? Corleone Noir is a spokesperson for the NRA, right? Meanwhile, the NRA has a disclaimer at the beginning of that video that says, yo, whatever said on this video does not necessarily reflect the views of the NRA and yada, yada, yada. Right? So this is why I never really can understand some of the people, some of my people, some of the black people who decide they want to be black Republicans, man. I get it. To some of y'all, man, it's strictly a financial thing, man. I make X amount of dollars. They talking about, yo, I'm going to get this amount of money taken out of my check. I don't want this amount of money taken out of my check. I got this money to protect. I'm voting Republican. On that degree, I get it. But on every motherfucking thing else, hell no. Hell no. And so, they're young, man. That's the only thing I can say about it. Like, they're young. Some of them, they're young. They don't necessarily understand the nuance. They don't necessarily understand all of the bullshit that goes behind. They don't necessarily understand the history. And sometimes you get to a point, like, I remember there was a time where I thought, man, like, yo, man, maybe I'm becoming more conservative only because I was embracing the Second Amendment and being able to protect myself and carry a gun and things like that. Only because of that. There was a time where I thought, yo, man, maybe I'm a little bit more conservative than I thought. But the Republican Party of today is not the Republican Party that freed the slaves, supposedly. It is not the party of Lincoln anymore. It is not the party who would actually uphold the principles of a Dr. Martin Luther King. As much as they would like to proclaim Martin Luther King as one of their own, they are fighting against every fucking thing King stood for. So yeah, man, like, it's unfortunate that the college Republicans at Howard decided to not only, you know what, I don't have any beef with them even being college Republicans at Howard University. My beef is their support of Trump. At the end of the day, my beef is that their support of Trump, their belief that Trump is the answer to what ails the black community, and that is a problem. I got to take a bit of a break here, folks. So I'm going to leave you folks with a bit of a musical selection, so to speak. As I take this break, I got to use the bathroom. So we're going to listen to some old school Outkast, baby. Check this out while I do this.
Yeah, it's from national underground, thunderbounds when I stop the ground. Like a million elephants, a silverback orangutan. You can't stop a train. Who wants some? Don't come unprepared. I'll be there, but when I leave there, better be a household name. Weatherman telling us it ain't gonna rain. So now we sitting in a drop top soaking wet. In a silk suit, try not to sweat. Hit some assaults without the net. But this will be the year that we won't forget. 1999.
We are back. Yeah, man. Yes, indeed. That's a classic right there, man. I love Outkast, man. I'm my dudes right there, man. Real talk. But yeah, man. It's oh man, I got kind of heated with that little Black Republicans joint, man. Real talk, man. That's crazy. That's just craziness, right? Now, yeah, like, okay, let's get back into this though. So, the phone, as a matter of fact, let me do this. Phone lines are open. You can give me a call at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. If you're watching the show live, those phone lines are open. You give me a call and we can chop it up while we're doing the show for at least until the rest of this is going on, man. Real talk. But yeah, man. So another thing too, man, like we're talking about the Super Bowl. This is Super Bowl Sunday. And I gotta say, man, has there ever been a time where a team was more maligned because of their political affiliation with the sitting president of the United States, right? We've got a team in the New England Patriots whom I've never really liked. I'll just put it to you like that. I've never really liked the Patriots, man. A buddy of mine, been a lifelong, like pretty much as long as I've known Trey, has been a Patriots fan. But outside of him, I don't really know any, you know, real Patriots fans, man. And I don't know anybody outside of Boston or anything like that. But yeah, man, it's one of those things where I'm wondering, have we ever Have we ever been at a time where the president of the United States kind of colored how folks looked at a team, right? And one of the things that's like interesting about this entire thing with the Patriots and Donald Trump and everything else is you've got the hypocrisy, so to speak, when it comes to people's views about what's patriotic, so to speak, and what isn't. So earlier in this football season, we saw the the demonstration of Colin Kaepernick, right? Colin Kaepernick decided to like, yo, but because of all the police killings and because of the way in which we kind of attack that issue, the way in which America speaks about that issue, the attitude of the vast majority, unfortunately, of white Americans and how they look at this issue, I feel like I'm, as a silent protest, I will not stand for the national anthem, right? And Colin Kaepernick, you know, became the topic of discussion for weeks because of his decision to not stand during the national anthem. You know, you had folks everywhere who were burning his jersey and making videos about it. You had, you know, pundits on TV like Stephen A. Smith and Max Kellerman and Shannon Sharp, who spoke eloquently, might I add, Skip Bayless. You know, you had a lot of these folks who were coming out of the woodworks, and then you start finding out how folks really felt. Like, you start finding out about people that you didn't really know was on some bullshit, like Ray Lewis. You didn't really know Ray Lewis is on a whole hell of a lot of that bullshit for some of us. You know, there was a few people who were kind of privy to. Right? There was a few people who were privy to, but there was a lot of folks who were like, yo, they were kind of surprised with how Ray Lewis was responding to that and how he articulated what he felt about that. And so you saw folks giving Colin Kaepernick the business when it came to being mad at him, right? Saw a lot of that. But the same thing happened earlier in the year when you had Tom Brady, who in a silent kind of political statement had a Make America Great Again cap in his locker, right? Now, there was some things made about it. You know, there was some discussion made about it, whether or not Tom Brady was he endorsing Donald Trump. And he didn't really speak a whole lot about it. And Colin Kaepernick did kind of give light to and kind of speak to what his beef was. And he actually went out and advocated not only for police accountability, but also, man, he kind of went out of his way to address some of the youth in the inner cities in his town where he plays, right? So you got Tom Brady, who makes this political statement without making a statement, really, because he didn't really speak a whole hell of a lot about it, but he made no bones about the fact that he was friends with Donald Trump, which is one of the things where, like, I wish I didn't know, right? I wish I didn't know. And it comes to where we are now, where with our political discourse, where we know so much more about what our athletes, what our celebrities think than we used to be privy to, man. So much more about them than we used to be privy to. So I talked about like some of my heroes, man, like some of the people that I used to listen to growing up. And then, like, having Twitter and seeing some of the shit that they say on Twitter and be like, man, this motherfucker is dumb. Right? Like, one of the people I used to talk, who was it? Lupe Fiasco. Lupe Fiasco was somebody whose music I used to enjoy listening to. And then I made the mistake of following him on Twitter. I was like, man, what the fuck is wrong with this dude? Right? Another person like that, Talib Kweli. I had to stop following Talib Kweli. I used to love Talib Kweli's music. Had to stop following. This is like, dude, how you arguing with everybody? Every day, like, you on, like, a five-day argument, dude. Like, I have more access to these people and their thoughts than I used to, because the only thing I used to have was their music, or the only thing I used to have was their athletic ability, and I could revel in that. I'm like, man, this person is great, but now I know so much more about these people, and the more I know about them, the more I'm like, man, fuck this guy, right? Tom Brady being one of those people. Tom Brady is like, I'm a University of Michigan fan. Like, I remember the Fab Five, and I remember in 1997 when the University of Michigan won the national championship, and they had to share that shit with the University of Nebraska. Fuck Nebraska, because the coach at the time, Tom Osborne, was retiring, and they gave him the national championship as a parting gift. Right? I'm a university of, I like, outside of my alma mater, the Tennessee State University, University of Michigan was my school, right? Tom Brady went to the University of Michigan. So he's like, yo, man, he's a Michigan guy. Yo, fuck that. He's friends with Trump. And Trump isn't cool with people who look like me, despite being sprinkled with the Ben Carson, despite being sprinkled with the Daryl Scott, despite being sprinkled with the Omarosa. Donald Trump doesn't give a fuck about people who look like me. I saw that during the 18 months of his candidacy, with black people getting their asses whooped at his rallies, right? So I'm rooting for the Atlanta Falcons, not because like I'm an Atlanta Falcons fan in Atlanta. Like, yo, I just don't want the fucking Patriots to win. And if anything, is by proxy, like beating the shit out of Donald Trump. Unfortunately, that's what it's come to. And I know it's a lot of folks, man, who, like, I get it, man. Like, Atlanta is like a primarily black town now, man. It's like the black Mecca. I know so many folks who have moved down to Atlanta. Like my boy, Torres, right? One of my best friends moved down to Atlanta with nothing. And that dude owns his own fucking security firm now, executive protection firm in Atlanta. Has protected a lot of some of y'all favorite rappers, some of y'all favorite politicians. My boy Torres has worked with them. Some of y'all favorite athletes, my boy Torres has worked with them. He went down there with nothing, and like, he's done his thing. And I'm so proud of that brother. I'm so proud of everything him and his wife are doing down there. And all of that. My cousin Shantae, she moved down there, is doing great in Atlanta, right? Atlanta's kind of became the black Mecca for America. And so I think a lot of people right now, man, with the Atlanta Falcons, might not necessarily like the Falcons as a team. Probably don't even know who the fuck plays for the Atlanta Falcons. I like them too, because Matt Ryan got me a championship this year in my fantasy league. Right? But you got a lot of folks, man, who are rooting for the Atlanta Falcons simply because they don't like the Patriots. They don't like their association with Donald Trump. Even in Boston, man, there was an article, I believe it was written in I'm drawing a blank as to what article what publication wrote this, but there was an article that I read earlier in the week where they were talking about some of the conflictions that folks in the Boston area were having because of the Patriots association with Donald Trump. Right, where there were people who said, I can't even watch a game anymore because of the fact that I know that they're associated with this dude. Where some people are like, yo, man, this has always been my team, and I'm not going to let Donald Trump take this away from me. Right? I've always been a Patriots fan. So you got a lot of that going on, man. But I kind of wonder, too, like the black players of the of the Patriots, like how they feel, you know, like I kind of wonder how some of the black players feel about the association that that organization has with Donald Trump, considering what he thinks of them, or whether or not, you know, they're looking at it on a purely financial level when it comes to lowering taxes for the upper 1%, which a vast majority of them belong to, right? A lot of rich dudes in the NFL. A lot of them pay a lot of taxes. So if they feel like they're going to get a tax break because of this guy, then they probably cool with him too. Who knows? But it's something that I'm curious about. But at the end of the day, I don't know if we've ever seen a team more disliked. Not only, and it's not just because of the Donald Trump thing. It's, you know, you got this Deflategate and Spygate that's associated with them. A lot of folks just simply do not like the New England Patriots, and it doesn't help that Donald Trump is also a friend of not only the owner, but of the head coach who wrote a fucking love letter to him during his campaign, but the starting quarterback of the New England Patriots, man. So, yeah, man, it's a bit of a political football watching this Super Bowl this evening. But we're going to see, man. Hopefully the Falcons are able to pull it out and we can get that win by proxy through them, man, real talk. But yeah, man, we are coming up on our segments, and let me pull this damn tablet timing out and shit. But we are coming up on our segments, and of course, we... Wait, okay, there we go. You got to get the order right. We got our ass hat of the week.
Yo, we got some hats now, motherfuckers.
And let's do that again.
Yo, we got some hats now, motherfuckers.
All right, and our ass hat of the week this week here at the Spare Report is none other than Kellyanne Conway. Now, Kellyanne Conway has been an ass hat of the week before. She's working on, she is pretty much working on gaining entry into the Ass Hat Hall of Fame. And as a matter of fact, we're going to have some votes this year. Later on this year, man, we're going to induct some Ass Hat Hall of Famers, and it's going to be determined by you guys, the listeners, man. You guys are going to determine who actually gets into that Ass Hat Hall of Fame. And Kellyanne Conway, she's the Ass Hat of the Week this week because of this, man. Of course, we've dealt with it. We're 2 weeks into this Donald Trump presidency, and there has been an assault, a continued assault on factual information from this administration. I believe it is a concerted effort to undermine the media, to kind of get everyone in line to listen only to what the Donald Trump administration tells us and to believe that to be so, which is why he tries to belittle a lot of the media outlets who challenge him, so to speak, who bring into question some of the questionable things he asserts, right? And I know some people like, Barack Obama did it with Fox News, man. Barack Obama said he would. Barack Obama still went on Fox News and did interviews with Fox News. Barack Obama did not deny interviews to Fox News because of their attitude towards him, right? So it's not the same thing to say that CNN and Fox News are like political are on different scales of the political spectrum. If anything, I would say MSNBC would be the one you would say would be in the pocket of the left as more so than I would say CNN, right? But doing an interview with MSNBC, Kellyanne Conway, while trying to legitimize the Muslim ban that was happening at airports across the country, Kellyanne Conway cited a terrorist attack in Bowling Green, Kentucky. The thing is that terrorist attack in Bowling Green, Kentucky, no one really fucking knew about because it didn't happen. Here's Kellyanne Conway on MSNBC with Chris Matthews speaking about the Bowling Green massacre. Check this out.
It's been a...
Wait. Let me pull it. Wait, shit, spam. All right, there we go. Whoop, that isn't it. Okay, there it is. All right, there we go. Let's start it.
I bet it's brand new information to people that President Obama had a 6-month ban on the Iraqi refugee program after two Iraqis came here to this country, were radicalized, and they were the masterminds behind the Bowling Green massacre. I mean, most people don't know that because it didn't get covered.
It didn't get covered because it never happened. All right, giving Conway the benefit of the doubt here, however, she may have meant an incident in 2011 involving two Iraqi nationals who were later indicted for allegedly having ties to attacks against U.S. troops in Iraq. Those two men lived in Bowling Green, Kentucky.
All right, now, he's giving her the benefit of the doubt. We here at the Spare Report know that we're not going to give her the benefit of the doubt because Kellyanne Conway has said many things that were untrue, that were questionable. And not only that, Kellyanne Conway has kind of become one of those people where you start to believe that she will say anything, and will say anything if the money is right. And I say that because Kellyanne Conway wasn't always a Donald Trump supporter. Kellyanne Conway actually spoke ill of Donald Trump during this campaign on TV on numerous occasions, Kellyanne Conway, I believe she was campaigning or she was working on the Ted Cruz campaign. It was either Ted Cruz or Marco Rubio, one of those guys. And she, as an operative for them, spoke viciously against Donald Trump. Here's some evidence of Kellyanne Conway. Here's some just a little bit of footage of Kellyanne Conway speaking so much shit towards Donald Trump that you would almost forget that Kellyanne Conway speaks for Donald Trump today. Check this out, y'all.
Breaking a law. I mean, we could just brush it off, but it shows you the danger of just saying things that aren't true and getting people to believe it and getting 20,000 people in a rally today to just lap it up as if it's true.
It's completely transparent. Donald Trump's tax returns aren't. I'd like to see those be transparent. And people start to see that he's not, he says he's for the little guy, but he's actually built a lot of his businesses on the backs of the little guy. And he's a lot of little guys through eminent domain or through not paying contractors after you've built something. The little guys have, you know, suffered. So that the question is going to be about these Trump victims. The reason the messaging has gotten better since Alex's barn burner of an article 2 weeks ago is they're starting to talk about victims of Trump University, victims of Trump in Atlantic City. Before that, it was his conservative apostasies. Now it's actually, you're for the little guy, but you've built your business on the backs of the little guy. Yeah. And insulting them as lying Ted and John Kasich, who eats like a slob, and everything else that was said today, which is fairly unpresidential, then I think he should just ignore them. I mean, if he wasn't worried about them, why not just ignore these two people he thinks aren't actual competitors? I actually think they got under his skin today. But it's vulgar. And this is the equivalent, really, in New Hampshire of Donald Trump skipping the debate in Iowa. It cost him votes. And I think people will think thrice now when they go into that ballot box and say, look, I've tried to send a message all along through Donald Trump to the establishment, but now I got to get serious about sending somebody to the White House. And do I want somebody who hurls personal insults or who goes and talks about philosophical differences, say, as a pro-lifer with many pro-life candidates who are very disappointed, very pro-life causes very disappointed today? They didn't need four or five times to get it right. They would have gotten it right the first time because the pro-life community is of one mind on this. You do not punish the woman. She is looked upon as a victim.
All right. Kellyanne Conway, ladies and gentlemen. This lady will say any motherfucking thing so long as the money is right. So long as the money is right. And that is the chief counselor outside of Steve Bannon. Kellyanne Conway is counselor to the President of the United States as she talked all that shit about him during the campaign, right? And this is a problem that people have with politics, man. You say one thing and then you do another. You say one thing and then you do another. Only this, like, yo, it's like, yo, we saw the videotape. That was you. Kind of like the whole thing with Mayor Fouts and Warren. That was you, right? But, yeah, so that's a thing. But we got our champ of the week this week, also here at the Spam Report.
The champ is here! 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 The champ is here!
All right, our champ of the week this week here at the Spam Report Podcast is Serena Williams, man. Serena Williams is the champ of the week here, man. And not only that, man, it's like the overall champ of tennis, period, man. Serena Williams balled out. She has won her 23rd overall Grand Slam championship by winning the Australian Open against her sister Venus. Venus Williams also has 7 Grand Slam championships herself. But Serena Williams, man, she is the most decorated tennis player of all time. The greatest to ever do it. Now, I know, like, sometimes, man, when we talk about, like, when, especially with athletics and stuff like that, man, we talk about, you know, sometimes we kind of put emphasis on what's happening right now, and we kind of forget about the past a little bit, man. And I grew up, man, I wasn't necessarily the biggest tennis fan, but I remember growing up and seeing some matches with Steffi Graf. I remember seeing Martina Navratilova. I remember Monica Seles and things like that. Serena Williams has dominated this game like no one I've ever seen do it. She has dominated this sport the way no one ever has done. And she's done it despite, you know, being treated poorly by some of the venues, by some of the people at those venues. She's done it while being criticized for her choice of love, her choice of what she looks like, her choice of where. She's been attacked by just simply because of her physical appearance. Oh, she looks like a man, and she's so much more powerful than a lot of these women athletes here. Nah, fuck that, man. Serena Williams has gone out there and dominated this game and is one of the greatest athletes to ever walk the face of this earth. And it's high time that she gets that recognition. And because Serena Williams has conducted herself with such class, because Serena Williams has conducted herself in such a way where, like, yo, she's dominant. Like, she's dominating the sport, man. She's dealt with injuries that no other player has had to deal with at that level and still won. Let's just put it like that. Like, she's dealing with issues that a lot of folks would have been hampered by and still won championships despite them, right? Serena Williams, man, is like Black Girl Magic personified, real talk. And I am honored to have Serena Williams as the champ of the week here at the Span Report, man. Much deserved for her. Much deserved win at the Australian Open. And hopefully the 23rd one is not her last one. Hopefully she can continue on and make that an unreachable record, man. Real talk. Real talk. So, yeah, man. Serena Williams, champ of the week here at the Span Report podcast, man. Real talk. It is about time for us to get out of here, man. I actually kind of went over. I went longer than I thought I would today. But it's time for me to get out of here. But before I go, I do got to let you guys know how to get in touch with me here at the Span Report podcast and let your voice be heard, man. Hit me up at that hotline, area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages. I'll play them on the show and respond in kind. And if you're watching the show live, you can call into the show and we can chop it up during the show as well. Also, hit me up at the email at feedback@thespanreport.com. That's feedback@thespanreport.com. Leave those emails. I'll read those here live on the show as well. Twitter and Instagram, my name on both of those platforms is Mr_Span. So go ahead, follow me there. We can chop it up throughout the week. Like the Mr. Span fan page on Facebook. It's pretty much my Facebook, my Twitter feed. But yeah, go ahead, like that Mr. Span Facebook fan page as well. Also, subscribe to the show on YouTube, man. The Span Report on YouTube. Subscribe. Watch the show live. Participate in the chat room. Call into the show live. It's a bunch better. We can do this thing as we do it. As we do it, right? Go ahead and subscribe to the Span Report podcast, man, and let your voice be heard and watch the show live. And also, man, go to this website, www.thespanreport.com. Go there, vote in the polls, donate to the show, watch the show. Everything is available there, man. The t-shirts, like I said, will be available again there this coming Thursday at thespanreport.com. And so go ahead and do that. Go ahead and do that, man. Go to thespanreport.com for all of your Span Report needs, man. But it is time for your man Span to jet up out of here. I got to get my grub, and I got to go to my boy's house so we can go watch this young game, man. Super Bowl 51? Yeah, that's what's happening. So until next time, fam. Peace.